All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Tuesday, June 5th. I'm Doug Norrie, that is
James Davis.
Heyo, we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, so go ahead and head over and sign up for a free 3-day trial of our projection system. You know the deal, powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, blah, 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 DFSR.com/MLB. If you've been listening to the podcast, you know the deal, and hopefully by now you signed up. And maybe if you have, you sign up and you want to sign up again, just put another email and just go sign up again.
What about that first time listener right now, Doug? That person who's out there who's never heard it, and they just heard you, they got the blah, blah, blah day. How do you think that person feels?
Well, they'll go sign up for the free trial and they'll be fine. And they'll listen tomorrow and just get the whole spiel again. So they'll be fine.
Just come in the chat. I'll apologize on Doug's behalf, and I'll send you pictures of Doug without a shirt on as a compromise.
I was going to say, is that like considered a bonus or is that considered like a threat? Like, I don't know.
Depends on how you take it. If you don't want them, then it's a threat. If you don't sign up, if you do, then.
I was in chat comparing my body type to Aaron Judge last night.
I think that's actually pretty spot on. I mean, you're definitely a little bit shorter and you're not nearly like, you don't really have any like muscles that you can see from the outside, but I know that you're really strong. So.
I like the muscles you can't see from the outside. Anyway, DFSR.com.
They're definitely in there.
You wouldn't be moving, you'd be flopping around on the ground if they weren't. So they're definitely there. DFSR.com/MLB. And you can get members-only chat with all the good stuff that we're kind of spewing at you right now. All right, so we have pretty big day in baseball. Coming off a very weird Monday that featured a doubleheader and then a 7 o'clock game, a like sort of standalone game, and then three 10 o'clock games with no real good pitching really anywhere to be found. We return to normalcy tonight with MLB stuff, with just like a full rate of games, some good pitchers taking the mound, some bad pitchers that we can really target, some question mark guys that I want to ask you about in terms of maybe when we really look at starting pitcher too, because that might be somewhat of a problematic area as we get closer to lock. But we'll take a look at some of these guys. I mean, the first guy we got to talk about here is Scherzer. What do you think? Is Scherzer in this matchup? So he's facing off against Tampa Bay. He's a huge favorite, minus 250. I guess my question is not whether he's the best option on the slate. I think that's, at least for our numbers, is pretty clear. I guess my question is, maybe this is too broad of, like, at what price would you not consider rostering him here? So he's 12,000 on FanDuel and he's 13,300 on DraftKings. And I get that there's other considerations here, like other options and whatnot, but like 12,000 doesn't even seem close to me in terms of price for him. On a day like today, would you consider like going all the way to like 13,000, like on FanDuel, 13, more than 13 in this, just because of just how good he's been this year compared to the rest of the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think that ultimately it comes down to what kind of payoffs, big money payoffs, do you have elsewhere, and to what degree does playing Scherzer inhibit your ability to cash in on those, right? And so on a night like tonight, we don't have a Coors game. We don't really have any huge lines. I mean, we do have some pretty good lines, but nothing that really jumps off the page, particularly none of the really expensive teams that feel like must plays, you know? So just on a very basic level, you know, a team like the Yankees, which does have a very favorable matchup and a high total, they're not overwhelming, say, the A's, who are rated to score a very similar amount of runs for a fraction of the salary that you need to invest to get their players, right? So when you have a night like that, you can typically pay almost what you need to pay to get a guy like Scherzer. I mean, obviously you couldn't pay like 16,000, right? At some point you can't just play like all $2,000 players alongside your pitcher. But, you know, I think FanDuel does a pretty reasonable job, at least on the highest end guys, of making you sweat it a little bit with the price. But, you know, in the case of someone like Scherzer, just the raw point output is still going to wind up getting home, you know, and that's going to happen for the very best arms. You know, you and I have complained a number of times about the pricing algorithms and the fact that something really ought to change. Like when Scherzer's on the slate, you shouldn't just get to press plus regardless of the price and be making the mathematically correct decision. It kind of oversimplifies the game in some ways. But it's also fun for people to just have good pitchers. So I don't know. Can't complain too much. So I don't know. It's mostly a math problem and one that our system can solve for us that eyeball testing on my behalf probably isn't very fruitful on.
Right now, so he's coming into obviously 100% of top lineups. And we've talked about this many times, but when that's the case for these high end pitchers, you aren't going to see, I don't think, too much of a
pivot.
Nowhere. Yeah. in terms of our system. And if you, right now, for us, on FanDuel, if you do X him out, the next best lineup is 7 points less, which is a huge number. When you talk about iterations of lineups going down, you know, the top 50 lineups are separated by, let's say, less than a point, usually on a night basis, just because some of these numbers, some of these projections for guys are so close. And especially when there's a bigger player pool, you're just going to get the pricing is going to be close enough and the projection is going to be close enough that you're going to get, you know, maybe the top 50 lineups, you're going to get a point difference, maybe a point and a half if there's like just some one really outlier case. To go down 7 points of expectation from pitcher one to pitcher two is just as steep a drop as you'll ever get. And as we've all talked about many times, in terms of baseball, in standard deviation, pitchers are so much more reliable than hitters. So you really never want to take out a reliable, and Scherzer's about as reliable as it gets, reliable pitcher in order to pay up for bats elsewhere, because that is just going to be a more variable approach. After him, so we have him at 13-3 also on DraftKings. He's showing up in lineups. Let's talk about some possible GPP pivots on FanDuel and then some starting pitcher two options as well, assuming that we're going to be paying, you know, pretty damn close to the top dollar, at least on DraftKings for Scherzer.
Yeah, pitcher two on DraftKings is pretty tricky for me, actually, because basically what our system, and this is where the Scherzer question really gets put to the test, because right now if you want to pay up and get Scherzer, you've got some issues in terms of, at least from our system's perspective, it basically has a poo-poo platter of $5,000 to $7,000 pitchers that it kind of shrugs its shoulders and throw out there. And the one guy who seems like kind of reasonable, I guess, is Kyle Hendricks. Hendricks right now at 8,300 allows you to play Scherzer, allows you to get some exposure to the Oakland game and even sprinkle in, you know, a Red Sox here and there. And, you know, so basically you're not fully breaking the bank and just kind of try to totally going for broke on pitching, but you're not trying to pay for one of these guys that, you know, just has just a terrible track record and a bad matchup, which seems like a lot of the other options. Now, the trick with Hendricks tonight is that there's no line on the game right now. They're going to be kind of waiting to see how the weather plays out in Wrigley. So who knows where that line winds up coming in. I assume it right now it's just a placeholder line that we have in there based on your best guess. And that's going to leave us in kind of a weird spot until that weather news comes out. But right now, with sort of like basically going into a blind, I would guess he winds up being our best option there, unless you're seeing something totally different.
Wind blowing in at 10 miles an hour in Chicago probably means the line is going to come in on the lower side, I guess somewhere like around 8.5. I mean, the Phillies have scored 5 runs in their last 6 games total. So, I mean, I'm sure some of that is run
bad. That's bad, right?
Yeah, but it hasn't been like they've been playing, you know, a steady diet of like Scherzer, Kluber, and I don't know who else, Sale in a row. They've been playing the Giants and then the Dodgers before that. I guess the Dodgers have a few better arms than the Giants do, but they just have not put up any runs at all. They've dropped into, I was just going to look real quick where they've dropped into in terms of against righty hitting. Yeah, against righty pitching this season, they're striking out 27% of the time, which I believe is the most in the league. It is the most in the league kind of by far, and they're right around the middle of the pack in terms of WOBA, and they by the way, they get worse because they have, now that they're without Rhys Hoskins. So it's just pretty much all bad for the Phillies. I'm with you that I think the line comes in a little lower. He's a huge favorite. He's, you know, the 8,000 probably strikes me as safe enough. He's not all that good is the problem. Like, this is where I hate falling with some of these, like these starting pitcher two types, is that, and I know that I get that you kind of have to do it at times because of price and matchup and whatever, but he's just like not the guy that profiles to me as a guy. I usually like to grab someone a little cheaper who at least strikes people out. Like Hendricks strikes out less than 7 per 9. Yeah. He doesn't.
That's not a great spot. He doesn't. Who's the other guy though? I guess is my question.
I'm with you that Hendricks is not
a perfect option, but geez.
For 1,100 more, I don't mind Sean Newcomb. 1,100 more. It's a little. You're getting a little bit expensive, but he's an interesting case because he checks the box of. Good matchup, great park. He's facing the Padres. The Padres are a bottom feeding team just against any split, so you're not really worried about it there. He does strike out more than a batter per nine, but the walks are still an issue. Like, he's still walking more than 4 batters per nine. It really makes it hard for him to go late into game. So he's just not going to go. He's just not going to go 7 innings on the regular, 6, you know, 6.5 innings on the regular, just because he just walks too many guys. I mean, could you see?
He's been terrible in May too, by the way. I mean, the peripherals in May. I mean, aside from that first start of the month where he was good against the Mets, 6 Ks against 3 walks, 6 against 4, 4 against 2, 4 Ks against 4 walks, 2 Ks against 2 walks. Like, you've got, yeah, the runs have been sort of down, but investing more for that, I don't even know if I trust the significantly higher K numbers at this point. I mean, maybe you do just because the track record is there and he was really good at the beginning of the year. But man, I don't know. It seems like that not exactly. I guess the matchup makes the floor a lot better, but overall, like while we're just continuing to climb the ladder, maybe I'm going to go 400 more and just get Ross Stripling after that, you know? Like,
right.
Hey, well then I only need to get 500 more to get Madison Bumgarner. Like, it's just, at some point you do have to just rip the cord and stop spending up. And at least right now on our system, it's telling you if you're going to pay 13.3 for Scherzer, you just can't go over a certain threshold in terms of spending. So
the other troubling thing that sometimes our system sometimes wants to do is go very cheap at pitcher, because DraftKings has such a spread in pricing that you are going to find guys at times in that $4,000 and $5,000 range.
Yeah, they make you think about it.
And sometimes those guys are worth thinking about. Like, we've talked about this in the past. Like, Danny Duffy was a chalk guy the other night, and Joe Musgrove has been a chalk guy in the past. Ross Stripling, when he was 4,000. You know, there's been many, many examples this season of guys that you're willing. I mean, even like Clayton Richard last night at 5,000. I know that the options weren't great, but good matchup. He hasn't been the worst pitcher in the world. It's just the problem is when sometimes these $4,000 or $5,000 pitchers are sort of problematic. Let me throw out a couple different names to you, and you can tell me what you think, because these are guys that are coming in at higher points per dollar, just in the higher points per dollar range, and I don't feel awesome about it. One guy that the system doesn't mind, I'm laughing because it's mostly because of the money line, is Stephen Wright. So Stephen Wright, the knuckleballer, is going to come in and pitch for the Red Sox tonight. He's a huge favorite. He's like almost a minus 200 favorite. He's completely stunk. Like, even out of the bullpen, his numbers are terrible. The matchup against Detroit's not bad, just because the bottom of their lineup is pretty weak. They don't strike out a ton. I mean, is this a guy that you would trust any of these, like, you know, higher points per dollar number multipliers on, or is this just or is the system just like kind of like having a brain fart here?
Yeah, it seems like full on brain fart territory. I mean, the guy started 5 games last year, and for multiple reasons though. First of all, Wright is nowhere near a favorite to even pitch 5 innings in the game. And if you don't pitch 5 innings, you can't get the win regardless of how far your team is ahead. Last year he had 5 starts, went 24 innings total, struck out fewer than 5 batters per 9. He's like one of the all-time great guys to stack against for DFSR purposes, and one of my favorite off-brand stacks against for tonight too. I mean, the ERA is low this season, but the guy's walking 6 batters per 9 innings. He's terrible. He's one of the worst people to take the mound with any sort of frequent basis. So I will not be like, he's a guy to where there's almost no price that's too low, because he could leave after the third inning. He probably will leave after the third inning. And
okay, we get it. You hate the guy. I want to move on. So here's another guy. just laughing because there's like the full on hate job on Steve. I get it too. I'm just trying to figure out some of these cheaper guys. Another guy's
maybe I'm being irrational. It was irrational to say there's no price that's too low. I think the 5,300 price is not too low. I'll put it differently.
Desclafani is pitching for the Reds today. Now he's been on a rehab stint through AAA, where they
missed
have
all last season.
Where they have stretched him out last season. They have stretched him out, and he was not terrible last year. Like, his numbers resemble Kyle Hendricks, for instance. Like, he would pitch more than
he didn't pitch last year. That's the thing.
I'm looking back at 2016. All right, so that maybe changes my opinion a little bit. Although if you go back to 2016, he was pitching more than 6 innings per 9. He gets a Rockies team that is really close to the bottom of the barrel in terms of righty pitching this season, which again says something extra special, because this is not even controlled for their ballpark. So when you rank 25th against righties on the season, and you get to, you've already played, they, I know they played less than half their games.
No, I know.
They played they played plenty of games, of course. When you are this bad, is this a guy, or is like the track record with the injury too troubling for a guy who wasn't exactly an ace beforehand, but definitely fit the I'm an average pitcher kind of he's very much an average pitcher kind of tag. Is this a guy you would trust at all?
No. His first start back after missing a whole season and a half, basically, you know, his maximum number of innings pitched in the minors is 5. Like, I think the stuff is potentially there. I think there's actually some upside to the play, actually, for big tournaments. If he just goes more innings than I expect, the matchup is obviously pretty good, but there's no doubt in my mind. Like, if I'm going for a relatively high floor tonight, him going 4 innings or something, just as a matter of what they just want him to do, is not outside the realm of expectation. Still struggled with the long ball in the minors again this season, so it's not all been roses and sunshine there, Doug. And I don't know. Like, you can't say no to everybody. You ultimately do have to pick somebody. And
right.
I guess it's like not that offensive to, like, he's the less of, you might throw out some other names that are going to be more offensive to me. Right now I like him less than Hendricks, and I like him more than Stephen Wright.
Other guys that are taking the mound, a couple guys coming back from injury today. Carlos Martinez is going to take the mound. He's very expensive on DraftKings, so I don't think I would really consider it there. He's coming very cheap on FanDuel, though. He was the next pitcher up when you X'd out Scherzer, because he's only 8,200 on FanDuel, and he definitely gets a Miami team, which you always like to see. So whenever someone's facing the Marlins, you really have to just take a look a little bit at what their numbers are, because the Marlins are a team that you can almost always just throw a pitcher out there against. Cardinals are -180 favorite. Run line is pretty low. Miami coming in at somewhere around 3.5 implied runs. Would he be a guy you'd be comfortable pivoting to, at least for GPPs on FanDuel because of the price, or is it troubling when a guy's coming back from injury?
Yeah, I think the injury thing just makes me believe that in this day and age, teams are going to be more cautious with him. I think if I was pivoting away from Scherzer, I think there's plenty of other kind of high upside arms I can take a look at as well. Like, you know, what about Corey Kluber? You know, like, he's obviously probably more well-known, might be higher owned, but him going against the Brewers seems like there's tremendous upside there. He's a -200 favorite right now. Frankly, either side of the Paxton Keuchel question, that game has a really, really low total right now. Paxton in particular, I know it's a really bad matchup, but just absurd upside on that arm. So I think there's just probably a little bit more upside elsewhere. Although, I mean, the thing with Martinez, certainly Vegas thinks that they have the Marlins scoring, I think, the fewest runs total on the whole slate, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I think unless it's 2.7 was the raise, I can't imagine it's lower.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm sorry. Exempting the Scherzer game, the lowest total overall outside of the Scherzer game.
Yeah, 3.2, and that is the lowest. The final guy that's coming back from injury today, Madison Bumgarner, is going to make his first start of the season after getting hurt during spring training. That game is another one that has a very low total. The over-under is only 7. He's a slight favorite, -125 right now, with the Diamondbacks coming in at 3.4 implied runs. Diamondbacks are just another one of these teams that they have one good hitter in the middle of the lineup, and they just have a bunch of almost complete bums. Especially guys that are against lefty pitching. I mean, Goldschmidt is completely elite against lefties, and everyone else is just really, really bad. But is this another case of, you know, because Bumgarner is another one that's coming really cheap on FanDuel. Like, the FanDuel pricing algorithm has clearly been meant to hit guys that have been injured for a while. We've seen this with hitters that have come, like good hitters that have come back and been, that's just a complete minimum when they came back off a long DL stint. Bumgarner, my guess is 8,700 is the lowest we see him probably all year, short of just him getting blown up because there's still something wrong with him. Is this a time to maybe just try to buy low, like maybe buy the lowest we'll ever see on a guy who's been an elite arm in the league in the past?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's proper to price him less, but that puts him at an appropriate place in terms of risk for big tournaments. And Bumgarner's a guy I would be happy to roll out there for big tournaments. And frankly, the guy across the mound from him in Patrick Corbin, across the mound, across the field.
I always get turned up when I'm saying that, like when I'm writing up the picks. It doesn't sound right, and then I want to say across the diamond, but they're never actually standing across the diamond from each other. So I haven't been able to figure out
the other guy, the guy who's pitching against him. There's no artsy way to say it. You don't want to dress up the writing too much, but Patrick Corbin. I mean, he's a guy. Corbin's kind of funny because when he first came up, he looked like he could be a guy who was going to move into being like a solid pitcher two type. The K numbers were on the rise. He had his own injury concerns. But he's, at times in his career, put up pretty solid K numbers. I don't think we can expect him to continue forth at 11.7 Ks per nine. But the fact that he's going out there for more than 6 innings per start, going against a relatively lackluster Giants offense in a really, really good pitcher's park, I think is another guy you can absolutely consider for big tournaments. I mean, I don't think, again, you count on the 12 Ks per nine, but in terms of just raw points per dollar upside, I think he's up there for me.
Yeah, the Giants do have guys in the middle of that lineup that have historically hit lefty pitching pretty well. But again, I made a joke last night that I was like, it's like, I'm sure this has been made many times just because of the nature of their roster. But if this was 2012, this Giants team would be awesome. Unfortunately, it's just, you know, 6 years later. I went back and looked at the war for the middle of their order, and it was like McCutcheon, Posey, Longoria. This was just like 2012, 2011 were just awesome seasons for these guys, and now.
Yeah, murder
trend. Six years later, it's not exactly shaping up to be that exact same thing. Now, I'm with you. I don't think Corbin's K numbers sustain here, but there's clearly something that's happening that's allowing him to go deeper into games and also allowing him to just put down a lot of batters. My guess is it still probably just ends up settling around a strikeout per nine, but every game that goes by, that does not look correct. All right, hit us up with a sponsor, and then we'll talk about some of these bats.
Yeah, let's talk about FantasyFactor.com. Fantasy Factor is a great place to go to play the salary cap game formats like you're used to, but without all the sharks putting in tons and tons of lineups. You can head on over there, get signed up. You'll see not only all the great regular salary cap game format games that you're used to, but they also have free rolls very frequently throughout all the different seasons, and they run cool promotional contests. They did a Super Bowl Squares contest. Right now they've got an ongoing Progressive Home Run Derby contest. I'm sure they'll do something for the Baseball All-Star Game, so be sure to check them out, especially if you're, you know, on a little bit of a losing streak on FanDuel and DraftKings. I do believe you can get a deposit bonus over there as well. Just kind of ease things up a little bit for you. And again, the easier competition should go a long way for the casual players too. So check them out, fantasyfactor.com.
All right, let's talk about some of these bats. For as many pitching decisions as I think there were, and I mean, I guess there maybe there aren't as many pitching decisions. Well, there's definitely not that many on FanDuel, doesn't seem like, at least for cash games. Maybe there were some more on DraftKings. There's a veritable who's who of bad pitchers taking the mound as well today. There are some real bottom feeding names coming down the list. You know, where our system is starting for sure is the A's again. Let me rewind for 1 second. One of the only slight issue we have with some of these guys today is that some of the very bad pitchers just happen to be playing against pretty bad offenses as well. And so that sometimes puts us in a bit of a
spot. I'm looking at you, Alex Cobb. Why do you got to pitch against the Mets today?
Right, exactly.
How am I supposed to sack the Mets? Even though you do have a sub 5 Ks per nine. Like,
right. So we have a couple examples like that, which does make it hard because even the worst pitchers, they can just shut down bad offenses at times. And we might be kind of caught in that spot today. Where we're not going to likely be caught in that spot is the A's against Matt Moore. We're right now, at least for FanDuel, which you don't really see. It's odd to see this on such a big slate, but right now it's looking to wants to throw four A's bats just into the lineup, basically, just considering their price and the matchup here. Do you think on a huge slate like this, do you get worried when you see basically just a full-on stack of just one team for what we would probably consider running for cash games?
I mean, it certainly piques my curiosity. When this type of thing happens, I like to check and see if it's, because sometimes, you know, with just the way baseball works, especially projections, they're pretty granular, right? So you could get, say the A's were implied to score 5.05 runs and some other team were expected to score 4.95 runs. You still could see a full-on A's stack simply because each guy is just a little bit better than their counterpart at a similar price point, a similar position elsewhere. This is not really the case with Oakland tonight. For those of you, the uninitiated, I suppose, when you see a line like this in Texas, there are certain weather conditions that can be in place in Texas that can make it play like one of the very best hitters parks in all of baseball. When you zoom out on park factors at the end of the season, a lot of the times Texas won't rank obviously up with like Coors or, you know, historically Arizona or things like that, simply because the weather conditions change there dramatically. But the summer is really the fat part of the bat when it comes to taking hitters in Texas. And when you see a line this high, that indicates to me that Vegas thinks there's just not only Matt Moore, who's quite a terrible pitcher in his own right, but perhaps some weather factors as well. And it's looking to me like the A's are, I want to say, by far the best offensive grab today. I mean, they're expected to score as many or more runs than every team on the slate, except for, no, they're expected to outscore the Yankees too. I don't know who the other team is, and they're cheaper than all of the other big name teams with good matchups. Like, they're cheaper than the Red Sox, they're cheaper than the Yankees. I think for that reason, prioritizing A's, getting as many A's as you can in the lineup is probably going to be where I'm going to start tonight.
They're going to stack righties basically all the way down the lineup, except for Olson. I'm counting Lowry as a righty here because he's a switch hitter. But like, you get Semien hitting leadoff, which is just a great spot. He's a guy that just shows up a lot at shortstop just because of the positional scarcity, and he can actually hit, and he actually hits lefties way better. So he's coming in that mid tier on FanDuel. But then right down the lineup, like, almost no matter which way they take the lineup here, in terms of just because they will sometimes shut up full around that second spot in the lineup, and guys maybe break down the 5, 6, 7 part of the order. Really, almost no matter which way they shake it, you're going to get value here. You're going to either get Chapman in the two hole, or you're going to get Marcana. You're going to, and these guys are both sub 3,000 on FanDuel. You're going to get Chris Davis at 3,600. He's basically locked into the 4 spot in the lineup. So I think just basically the way you look at with these guys with all their splits and that run line and how bad Matt Moore's been. Matt Moore, you know, 5.5. XFIP right now, and he's probably complaining that he's running bad because the ERA is close to 7.85 ERA. So it's, he's like, coach, I'm 2.5 runs per two and a quarter runs better than the 8.
Come ERA. On, so coach.
So don't get too worried. Yes, yeah, so I think
back around.
I'm gonna drop back down to right around 6 runs per.
Last year I had a 5.52 ERA. That's the guy you signed. I'm still that guy.
It's a little closer on DraftKings, where if you're going to pay up over 13 for Scherzer, you might get into something of a number crunch. But still, some of these guys are coming on the cheaper side. After Oakland, though, we have some other bad pitchers. I'm with you that this is the clear stack of the day. But with some of these other bad arms, is there a team that you're trying to hone in on that maybe, you know, we double stack with the A's in cash, or are we looking more at some maybe like one-off kind of situations?
I mean, right now our system is basically saying it's the A's and then, like, you know, some mix and match situation after that. But one team I think is pretty interesting tonight, and, you know, interesting because there's a lot of difference between how good their good hitters are and their bad hitters, but they have an excellent matchup, is the Los Angeles Angels. I mean, they're going up against Brad Keller today, a converted reliever whose stats, and, you know, I'm sure most of our listeners understand this, but in case you don't, relievers generally come in and they start with a huge advantage, right? They're almost always brought into a favorable situation to pitch against somebody who at least has a bad platoon split against them, right? Like, that's pretty much the state of being a reliever. People are also calibrated to a totally different pitcher, totally different pitch speeds. It's like going in there and already having like this great off-speed offering. And that's why relievers, generally speaking, tend to have higher K numbers, lower walk numbers, lower ERAs, and so forth. Brad Keller checks the box on the ERA department this year. He's got a 2.1 ERA, but the man strikes out fewer than 6 batters per 9 out of the bullpen. And now he's going to come in and face major league hitters for who knows how many innings, say call it 4 or 5 innings. That just seems like a tremendous spot for me to grab a couple of Angels, you know, the actual good ones, and grab them against both Keller and then probably a bullpen by committee situation after that. And Keller, you know, it's kind of interesting, kind of limits upside because he is a pretty extreme ground ball pitcher. But I think for cash games in particular, I would love to just mix and match a couple of Angels here.
Yeah, now that Kinsler's moved back up to the leadoff spot, he's still coming pretty cheap on FanDuel. He's a guy that I wouldn't mind one-offing in cash just because second base has been another maybe tricky position. I mean, some of these positions are just, we are starting to get a smoothing out effect of prices, even on softer pricing places like FanDuel, where just guys whose spot in the order and production have been consistent all season long, they are just, you know, even with an algorithm that doesn't update things all that frequently, we have been getting some fair pricing. Kinsler, though, because he had hit near the bottom of the order and had been running back to start the season, he's still a guy that you're getting pretty cheap. Yeah, I think I'm with you on the Keller thing. If you are, it's arguably worse if you get into the bullpen, because it'd be hard to imagine the bullpen being less optimal than a guy like Keller, at least the guys that would come in and replace him on a one-off kind of situation. But right. Other teams that are other bad pitchers going today, we mentioned Alex Cobb. He's been so bad. 4.86 Ks per 9. The ERA is up near 7. The xFIP is really, like, you know, up in the high 4s. With the Mets lineup, though, is this a situation? We kind of joked about it, but they have Nimmo at the top of the lineup. And then, I mean, they're hitting Jose Bautista third now at times. Like, this is a guy that was cast off by the Braves. Now, I thought the Braves did ditch him a little quick because I think he'd been kind of running a little bit bad. So the Braves probably could have kept him around. But regardless, this is a guy who didn't even have a team to start the season and is now hitting third for the Mets. But they have guys like Nimmo. They have Conforto, who at times has been an elite on-base guy. They've maybe moved Jay Bruce back up into the lineup, or back up in the order. He's been hitting like down like in the 6 or 7 range. But is Cobb bad enough that the prices on the Mets look okay in terms of maybe even rostering him in cash just because of the matchup?
Yeah, I mean, certainly one of the things that I've talked about before on the podcast, and I think obviously holds true still, is that you can't really look at total, like a total on a high level for a team that has a big difference between how good the batters at the beginning of the go are and the batters at the end, right? And particularly with National League teams, this is true, obviously, because they also have the pitcher who not only is bad in his own right, but is an automatic rally killer. Like, if the 7th batter gets on and the 8th batter gets out, the inning's basically over. You know, like you have an automatic out in the 9 hole. So stacking guys towards the top of the Mets order, to me, it kind of makes total sense. I mean, the total, like I said, is not through the roof, but Cobb really is that bad. And the fact that you're essentially taking strikeouts off the table with him right now means that guys like Bautista, whose biggest concern is going to be the strikeout, Conforto as well, when you can sort of take strikeouts, you don't take them completely off the table because obviously Cobb is striking somebody out. But when you reduce the likelihood of that, those batters become quite a good bit better, because when you zoom out, and I haven't done this in a while, but you know, there was something I would do in the past is when I would write picks articles, figure out what a guy's line would be if you just made it so he never struck out. Like, what happens when this guy puts the ball in play or he walks? And for a lot of these Mets guys, I suspect it paints a much rosier picture. So yeah, I think actually the Mets are sort of a sneaky stack for tonight, given that I think the unwashed masses are sort of going to be off it just based on the Vegas total.
Yeah, Nimmo, I mean, Nimmo is basically an elite hitter this season. Like, he's got a 421 on base percentage, 560 slugging, so he's up pushing up toward a 1K OPS, which is really for anybody is great. And it's not really a fluke, too. This is a guy that's been super patient all the way through the minors. The 15% walk rate is just right in line with basically what he's done at every single stop, except for his first stop with the Mets in 2016, which you can probably forgive him. So if he's just settling into this kind of on-base guy with some speed and power, this is getting toward the elite guy. I love Conforto, too. I know the Conforto's numbers have not been great this year. He's still even... the number that I always like to see is when a guy's maybe running bad in the power department, maybe running a little bad in BABIP, are his other numbers still in line? And when you're running bad and still have a 16% walk rate, like, you're just a good hitter in my mind. I think that, like, things are going to turn around. Like, you're not I always get worried when a high walk guy has been running maybe bad and now the walks are dropping because they're pressing or something like that might be happening, or maybe there's an injury and, like, we're just getting some weirdness in. Like, Conforto doesn't strike me as that. The strikeouts are still there, but he's still, even on a bad, what you consider to be a bad season for him, he's got a 36% on base percentage. So
exactly. He's basically a three true outcomes guy. And when you reduce the likelihood, the 26% K rate is a real problem for him, and that's going to hold down his batting average and his on base percentage to a place where you wouldn't want to see it, you know, in the extreme long term. But if you made it so he's only a 13% K guy, which is probably fair to say against a guy like Cobb, then all of a sudden you have super, super, super good hitter who's priced like one who's not. So, yeah, I think Conforto is an excellent play.
And my last guy on this team, and we can move on to a couple more teams here, but is Jay Bruce. I mentioned that they moved him down on the bottom of the order. For his career, Bruce has been a 17% home run to fly ball ratio. Really, he's been in that line every stop of his career, just no matter what has happened. He's on the 5% home run the fly ball. Now, some of it is the batted ball numbers are a little concerning because, like, the hard contact rate's down a little bit. The soft contact rate's up a little, but not enough to make up for the fact that he's gone, like, 11 points down in terms of expectation on when his fly ball has turned into home run. So you can run bad on this for an entire season, and there can be other mitigating factors, but
injuries and so on. But
my guess is that his next 204 at bats, he will have more than 3 home runs. Like, I think I think we can pretty safely
that sounds right to me, considering the man hit 36 home runs last year and 33 home runs the year before that. I think that's
right. So if you think that's the case, then we are probably getting him at a very, very cheap price. So anyway, we've spent a lot of time, and more time than I've probably ever combined spent on the Mets in all podcasts combined.
It'll happen when Alex Cobb shows up
at this point this season. Who else are you taking a look at today?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned them earlier. Some stock stacks, if you want to call them that. The Red Sox have Artie Lewicki, who actually is a Major League Baseball player. I did check that before we got recorded podcasting today. The Red Sox are going to be expensive, and you can't always just play all the most expensive guys, but it's certainly a team you can look at. And then the Yankees have Marco Estrada, and I think that's particularly interesting simply because Estrada is just such a home run pitcher. And, you know, the Rogers Center is a nice place to pitch, but really, it's just the fact that Estrada can't keep the ball in the ballpark. The only issue with the Yankees is, who are you going to pair with them in terms of pitching to actually be able to afford it? Now, if you buy the logic, as I do, that probably the chalk cash game pitcher is rarely the best big tournament pitcher, just because sometimes those guys have off nights, or sometimes they have merely good nights, right? They go 6 innings with 6 Ks and give up one run, but that's not enough to win you a big tournament. So if you can go cheaper and get a guy like, say, Corbin, or, you know, who knows, Madison Bumgarner on FanDuel, and then you can stack some of these big Yankee bats, it's hard to imagine that any team has more total runs upside than the Yankees for me today. And then, you know, you can still have relative value guys too, like Gardner batting at the top of the lineup, and then the big power guys up the middle. I think, I don't know. I think there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, Greg Bird is still mispriced. Like,
that's another one. Batting third.
They moved him from the seventh hole up to the third hole, and that price has not caught up. And, like, if you're going to hit in between Judge and Stanton for the rest of the season, then you are not there's almost no one in baseball that's going to be a $3,300 guy on FanDuel.
I know. I'm almost concerned that he's not in the lineup right now. Like, we'll double check our assumptions on it.
He's close. I was looking the same thing. He's like in the lineup 12, and these are all static lineups. So these are the kind of things that will change, and he's the kind of guy that will move up as like another cheaper guy comes in. So, like, I'm not actually so worried about him getting there, because I believe that he will be very much a chalk play. It's a little bit closer on DraftKings, where he's like in the mid 4,000s, I believe. But right now, I think just in terms of raw, in terms of raw overall points, he's 4,100 on DraftKings, which actually even that is a very good deal. In terms of raw overall points for first base, we have him as second overall among all players. Like, I think only guys above him is Rizzo, and that might even be some line dependent stuff. So just completely excellent play. And there's just down the line, there are some bad pitchers here. But anytime you log into a day and you see the pitchers that you just aren't even totally sure, like you said, are major league guys, or like, you know, we have to add projections for them because they weren't even in our system prior to the day, you know there's going to be some teams in good spots. All right, we ran a little long. We get out of here. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com/MLB is the site. Go check it out. All the projections that we've been referencing and the optimal lineups we've been referencing through the podcast today are available under that subscription. Members only chat as well. You can get in there right now, talk some PGA with Chris. We're going to do a PGA podcast.
Ooh,
Chris
PGA
and I talking
podcast.
Talking about this week's DraftKings and FanDuel for the, I think it's the FedEx St. Jude Classic, and talk about some of the new projections we've been putting together for PGA, which we're excited about and going to test for the rest of the season.
Cool.
So a lot of cool stuff going on. DFSR.com/MLB will get you started. Buddy, back again tomorrow talking more baseball. Enjoy your Tuesday.
Back again tomorrow with more baseball.